My name is Stephen Prusikowski with Screen Radar, and my first question is for Yuval. You had such a unique path as before you even started as a filmmaker, with math, philosophy, sculpture, photography. How did that factor in as you created this film and the vision of for this film?
I don't know. I kind of, when I make film, I just try to focus on what I'm doing at, you know, stuff that I'm working on at the moment. And I actually am trying to make genre films. And in that sense, this is even a genre film. So I mean, not exactly, but it has genre element. And so for me, I'm like, whether there's a, whatever is the correlation between other stuff I'm doing and this, that's a question that, you know, when I'm old, now I'm still young and whatever, I'll deal with. But I really don't know. I still do philosophy. I'm writing and whatever, but it's completely separate. It's a different thing for me.
We'll go next. My name is Kalina. I'm from FilmSpeak, and my first question is for Noumi. I love the idea of your character kind of having everything clean and like the perfect family, kind of on the first floor, on, you know, on the outside, but then in the basement below, there's a nightmare going on. And I think that's a really interesting metaphor for how people can be, where they present themselves a certain way on the outside and then they have something going on the inside. So given the delicate material that you were working with, I was curious if you experienced anything like that, where you felt like as a professional, you had to present yourself a certain way on the outside, but as an actor, were you processing so much more on the inside?
I mean, all the time, I would say that you try to come across as the kind of normal person. You're hiding all your madness and your insanity, and then you meet someone else who's like equally insane, like Yuval. When we first met, you know, it was two madmen meeting in New York and like kind of starting like, you know, a conspiracy, like, okay, let's go into the madness, let's explore people that are on the edge, you know, and the great gift, you know, that are given to you when you meet someone who is like your tribe, like same kind of person, you know, then you can talk about all these things. There's nothing you need to hide. So, you know, for me, I felt like, you know, my basement, Noumi's basement that is constantly going on. I gave Yuval the keys to my basement and he was like, you know, looking into all the madness and craziness and, you know, the brokenness and the sadness and, you know, desperation and anger, you know, I invited him. And then it's okay, because there's no judgment when someone, you know, has that, the same mentality sort of. So, but I think, you know, in Sweden, I grew up in Sweden, people hide most things, you know, it's a society where everything is normal here, you know, nobody shows anything. And then it's a lot of craziness going on inside. So, yeah.
I guess we're doing Hollywood Square, so I'm next to Kalina. I'm Robin Milling. I host Milling About, which is a vidcast and a podcast. Speaking of basements, Joel has said that those scenes were so torturous for him, literally. So if Yuval and Noumi, if you can talk about your own experiences as a director for you, what it was like to shoot those scenes, and Noumi for you, what it was like to drown him at times and make him very uncomfortable.
Do you want to start, Yuval?
Yeah, now it's considered a great achievement, right? To get somebody, you know, somebody like Joel. But like, look, Joel had a very, very tough predicament because, you know, to have the actor not being able to move, that's half of how they express themselves. So the guy was like literally like 80% of the film. In the beginning, he was walking a lot, and then he was tied. That's it, you know? So it's very, very, very hard. And he, and of course, there's something passive that kind of contradicts who he is, you know, which is, I think, what drew him to this thing, you know? It drew him to the role that it was, and I think he said it in interviews, that it was something that's very different from the stuff that he usually does, you know? And I think that him and Noomi, I felt it on the set. You know, they were speaking Swedish to each other from time to time to annoy me. But like, which I had to break out, like, you know, no, none of that here, you know. And they, but the fact that they knew each other, and I think the fact that Noomi was, she came to the, she was on the set earlier. He came like, you know, a week later, I think. And Noomi is in every scene of the film. And Noomi has to portray, you know, the present, dealing with something in the present and the past. So she was on kind of this emotional craziness that she was, you know, talking about. And he came into it, and it took him a couple of days. Like in the first couple of days, he was still like, you know, Mr. Cool Guy, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? And then he got into it, especially when we were in the basement, because there was something very, very intense also. He was tied. He was tied all day. He was, it annoyed him. I constantly kind of pushed him to be tied even.
It was a demasculating. I feel like he was demasculated, right?
Yeah. It was very hard for him. And I think in one hand, he resented it. And on the other hand, he kind of played this resentment, which was good, right, Noomi?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what was interesting, we both, you know, I was, me and Joel were trying to find something to do together. We did a film way back called Child 44 when I was tied up on a chair and he was interrogating me and circling around me and asking me questions about my husband, Tom Hardy's character. And I refused to talk to him. And then he's like, he's, you know, trying to seduce me and trying to scare me. And I just, you know, kept denying him access to me, you know. And then there was a situation, one take, I spat on him, you know. And he just looked at me and my spit was here. And he did this. And he swallowed it. And I was like, oh, you know, I was just like, I hate this man so much. That was in Child 44. And then I knew like one day we're going to be in reverse situation. One day you're going to be in my chair, baby. and then so we started this process of finding a project together. And then this script came across. And then I read it and I fell in love with the core question of forgiveness. If you can forgive, like, and what, and memories, what is memories? And like revenge, hate, destruction versus mending and forgiving. And then, so me and Joel were already attached, but Joel was supposed to play my husband back then. And then I met Yuval, I met a few directors and I didn't really find like, you know, the right person. I met Yuval when I was shooting in New York, Jack Ryan, and we met in my hotel. And he was just so honest and so, he was so straight to the point and so direct, and he knew so much about those issues and that exact question I wanted to ask. So I called Joel and I was like, it's it, that's him. We got to do it with Yuval. And then Yuval and me started this process of, you know, you started rewriting the script, and then Joel's character, the husband, became something else. And Yuval was the one saying, you know, it should be, Joel should be doing Thomas. You know, and then you had a conversation. So this, the whole, it shifted. So Joel first stepped into the project thinking he was going to be the husband. And then he was more drawn to the basement, to being tied up. But I think he hit him by surprise, how emotionally hard it was for him.
Yeah. Joel Amos, the movie Mensch. My question is for Noomi. First of all, congratulations on another great performance. And I was just curious, when you first read the script, I'm sure there was a wave of emotions that went through you as you went through the process. What emotion kind of stuck with you the most, that just got you in the gut more than any other?
I was obsessed with hate, like with revenge when I was younger. There was a few people, including a family member, that I was hurt by and that I wanted to strike back on. And I was convinced for many years that that was the way out of my emotional prison. So when I read the script and that was exact Maya's question, you know, is like, does it help? Can I cure myself? Can I cure my broken heart if I make him suffer as much as he made me suffer? And that is the question we were battling throughout the movie. You know, we actually shot the movie chronological, which was amazing. And I do remember, Yuval, one of the last days when we're shooting, and and Chris Messina is just crying, and he's a total mess, and he's, it was a moment of such a brutal honesty in his eyes, and I got my answer, and he was like, no, it doesn't work. I was wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was wrong. And that was the question I wanted to ask myself, and I got the answer in the movie.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Wilson for Film Inquiry. Just a question for Noomi. I was reading up about the movie, and it sounds like you and Joel knew each other even from before you went to high school together or something. I was wondering, how did that impact how you prepared for the role or how you guys were together on set?
We knew each other really well, which makes it possible to be, to not sugarcoat things, you know, to be more direct, and to, you can allow yourself. I think that was also one of the reasons why it became so emotionally undressed. It felt like we were naked in front of each other. And it felt like we were not hiding anything. And I felt like so many nights and days that I was losing my mind, that I was like holding on to a little, you know, I was, it felt like I was breathing through a straw, that I was underwater. And like the oxygen I got in was so minimal. It was like, it was exactly what I needed to survive, but nothing more. And I felt like he was in the same spot. So we, it kind of had this feeling that we were both drowning, and Yuval was like, you know, holding us up just enough. And I think because we knew each other, we allowed ourselves to go to that extent because we did trust each other.
My question's for Noomi as well. You play such a multifaceted role, a wife, a sister, a mother, the victim, the interrogator. Where did you draw your inspiration?
Wow, it was Yuval, and we created her together, I would say. I mean, you were interviewing me. You were asking me, do you remember, we were sitting in your office, you were like, what is the worst thing that could happen? You know, before you had your son, what would be the worst thing? And I said, if someone would hurt my sister. And then we started building, then we started doing research on the Roma people and what happened to them during the Second World War. So we were building her bit to bit. It was like a puzzle we were putting together. And then, you know, when she was on the page, then Yuval went into writing cave, and then the script came out. And then I started filling her with me, you know, me being a mother to my son, some days losing my mind and being like, oh, just be quiet, I need to think, you know? And then, oh, I'm sorry, what do you want for breakfast? You know, that span that old women kind of know, you know, it's like trying to be a mother and still feeling that you're trying to do everything else, and being a sister. So it was very, I think Yuval created a character that came out of me during our conversations. Am I correct, Yuval?
I mean, remember that the film started, it was actually about a Holocaust story that was centered on Jewish.
It was a Jewish couple, yeah.
Yeah, and we were saying, oh, we don't want that. It was done once or twice. And like, we really wanted to find something else. And I was asking Noomi, what means stuff, you know, where you come from, your family, who, da, 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 da. And like, just to get stuff, as she said, the sister story came from her relationship with her sister. And also the Roma idea came from something she told me. Like she said, oh, I have the, I mean, I'll let her define it, but like she said, in the family.
My father was a flamenco singer, Spanish flamenco singer, half Roma, half Spanish. So I had like that very strong in me, you know?
Exactly. And then we said, okay, so let's look into that and let's study that. And then we started studying it. And then apropos your first question, by the way, there's one thing I learned from my other stuff, and that's to be a grad student. I love studying research. It's like, you know, from this film, we did research on the Roma and the Romani genocide, and on PTSD. Those were the two things that we kind of studied as, you know, and we tried to be as honest as possible about. But Noomi brought, you know, these people that she knew from her life, some of them Roma, some of them experts on Roma, and this became, so there was something very personal about it. Like, what about you? We can get into this, you know?
But I think, you know, I always try to use myself as much as I can, my own truth, my own scars, my own, you know, dreams, nightmares.
Well, that came across on the screen. Fantastic work.
Thank you so much.
My question is for both of you. One of the things I loved about this movie is that even though, of course, we are rooting for Maja, you're never quite clear on whose story is the truth. You know, I think the both of you did an incredible job balancing that. And so Yuval, for you, can you speak to, as the director, where you felt you had to really kind of layer responsibility and balance out so that the audience didn't quite know who to trust? And then Noomi, for you, can you talk about any kind of like cognitive actions that you took to keep the audience on your side and keep their faith in you throughout the film?
For me, the contradiction, the fact that you don't know who to believe is like the key to that story, you know? We were talking about, when Noomi approached me about getting on board, coming into this project and rewriting it, I was, you know, that was not too long after the Ford Kavanaugh hearings, you know? And the Ford Kavanaugh hearings were, she says da 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 da, and he says, no, I wasn't there, it wasn't there. And it was so fascinating. You look at it and you're like, you can never go to the past and know what happened, right? There's no other way than these two people do, you know, somehow, and you making up your, somehow playing it out and you making up your mind. And the fact that there's no solution really, that's what was so fascinating about it. And so when, so for me, it's not about like giving a solution to this kind of problem, but to enact it as much as possible in the film, like to put her character. One of the things that we talked about, and I think Noomi did brilliantly, is to give us the sense that even she herself stops being sure towards the end. Like that there's some doubt, like that she's, you know what I mean? That like there's something that the husband doubting her and this doesn't come out the way she wants, whatever. And the fact that maybe if I just get a confession from him, it'll relieve me from this doubt, and he doesn't give her what she needs. So the pressure on the character is huge. The more, you know, our as a storyteller, my job, that I look at it kind of sideways on, right? Not like Noomi, who is in one of the, like, my job is to make it as difficult as possible. And also the fact that Joel is such a, you know, Joel doesn't look like a monster, you know, just Joel doesn't look like some central casting or whatever. He's actually, and also his story, when you realize what happened there, it's not exactly, you know, there's a lot of gray there. I don't want to reveal the end. I mean, we can't really discuss it fully, but like, for me, as much as possible, that was the key. You know?
Yeah. I mean, also, I think if you are, you know, if something horrible, we all have moments in our lives when something broke inside of us. It can be, for most of us, probably way smaller. But for the ones that have those massive, like a night, a day, an event that really broke something in you. I don't know what's going on. Sorry, we just need to, okay. And to, when you revisit that moment and you're, and you know that it's so, it's such an emotional place to be, so it's split into, it's almost like a shattered mirror, you know. She can't, it's like a mirror. When she closes her eyes, she's to see different reflections, but she can't piece it together. So that itself makes it like it's impossible. She doesn't know, and it doesn't make sense. So the further she gets, and it's like it's almost like she is falling apart, and she will, you know, there's no coming out of this, you know. And that, you know, that is something that is so brutal with memories, that like you don't know. And the more you look in, the more you're trying to find and to grab at like the truth or the answer, like what is it? What, because you can have an emotional truth, and then there's like a maybe a factual truth. If there was like a CCTV camera, you could see the movement. But what is truth? Like who has the right to say, yeah, this is a lie, this is truth?
Noomi, I can't even begin to imagine what personally happened to you to want for you to get this revenge. If you can share that with us, that would be wonderful. If not, I respect that. But also, if you do share, how can this empower women?
I can share it. It's not as brutal as in Maya's story, obviously, but like I grew up without my dad and he didn't want me. That simple. And I grew up thinking about him, wondering who he was, why he didn't want me, like what was wrong with me. And then it was like when I hit my teens, when I was like 13, I was like, you know, I'm going to find him and hurt him, you know. I want to take away his happiness. I don't want him to be happy and sit somewhere else and, you know, not have me. And like, that should not be okay, you know. So when I was more chaotic and rebellious, I was like, you know, I'm going to hurt him, you know. Not maybe physical, but I wanted to hurt his emotions. And then, you know, when I started becoming successful, when I was 18, 19, I got this lot of articles written about me and I got like praised in some big paper. And then he reached out to me and I was like, no, I don't want to see you, you know? And then I kept ignoring him and his wife reached out to me. It's like, how can you like do this to him? And I was like, you know what? So that was my revenge, but in a slight, like a lighter dose, obviously. But I think for women, what I've been trying to tell myself from as long as I can remember, like, don't wait for it. Like, do it, you know, don't wait for someone else to come and sort you out or fix you. Or like, if you're down on the ground, stand up. Like, don't feel sorry for yourself. Even if you hurt, even if it's painful, you know, you got to do it yourself, because most of the times there's no one coming, you know? And that was something that I grew up with. Like, no one is showing up to fix this, you know, fix it yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have time for one more question, you guys.
All right. Well, no pressure here. Last question. I know whenever anyone tackles or climbs a hill like you have with this film, I would like to think that, you know, maybe you learn a little bit about something about yourself that you weren't aware of before. What do you think you learned about yourself making this movie that was kind of unexpected?
What a good question.
Let me get back to you.
Seriously, no pressure over on you either.
Yeah, I think, look, there's two levels of it. One is that when you work on each film, and this is my third feature film, and under this pressure and with these actors, you always learn just by doing a film. So I'm not talking thematically. I'm talking just about this. I mean, I can have you do a half an hour conversation about stuff that happened and the way this film unfolded and what I learned from it. So that's one. But if you're thinking more thematically, like about from the themes of the film, there was something interesting that happened in the film, and it's a theme that we put in the script. Like when me and Numi talked about the script, and then when I did this very quick rewrite for the shoot, it was, you know, the Numi's character and Joel's characters are European. They come from the old world. They have this history. They know violence that Chris Messina's character, the husband, he doesn't know, right? He grew up, he's an American. He's kind of this innocent guy in the American in the 50s. He's not their world, and what they've been through is inaccessible to him. And when you share something with people like that, I mean, the way that Numi shared it and brought him into it got him into a journey that became one of the interesting things in the film. It's about like that when you share your secrets with somebody else who is not like you, you know, you don't know what the consequences will be. And I think that's something that, you know, if you ask me, maybe I would understand it intellectually, but after the film, I understood it. Like, you know, one of the things that drew me to this project, and that's not the main thing. I mean, people, you know, it's the main thing is revenge, memory, da, 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 all the stuff, but is that there's a husband and wife situation. And then suddenly the husband is like, wait a minute, I don't know anything about her. Or the wife said, I don't know anything about him. Like, I love this setup. There's another film I'm trying to write about this setup. I just love that setup. You know what I mean? Because yeah. There is this the fact that the other is unknown to you, even your wife or your husband. So yeah. That aspect of it is something that I learned from the film itself. Like I learned something about it, you know.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.